We indeed, Lord, look forward to that day when we indeed will crown you Lord of all. Our minds just can't comprehend what a glorious event that will be. Lord, we had the Olympics going on in Brazil these last several days, and it's been very moving to see Americans win medals and see the national anthem play. And I'm sure that can't even hold a light to what we will experience when we meet you and crown you Lord of all. May we long for that day and look forward to that day. We thank you for loving us and giving us hope. We thank you for your word. Bless it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Proverb 31. Don't forget, ladies, if you're interested in the Bible study for the fall, to sign up on the sign-up sheet on the table in the back. We'll be starting Good News Club on September the 15th, and Alice, who wonderfully takes care of the treats and everything, will have a sign-up sheet. She'll be getting that ready and putting it out. And we want to thank all of you who have provided treats in the past. You have literally been a lifesaver. It's a great thing when we get there and have a treat to give the kids, because I'm afraid we probably would get mugged if we didn't. But we appreciate that so much. Heather Haar will be with us on September, the first Sunday in September. I'm not sure exactly what date that is. I think it's, the 4th or something of that nature. She'll be here with us in the morning service. So we look forward to having her. She'll be giving us an update, and she'll be bringing some special music. So we look forward to that. And then in October, way out there, it's not going to be that far, our homecoming will be the first Sunday in October. What is that, the 2nd? Something like that, but it'll be the first Sunday in October. We'll be having our homecoming Sunday. So just a few dates there to throw out and reminders for you. We are looking at this last proverb. We started looking at Proverbs on July the 10th of last year. And so because of different events and not being able to do it every week, a little over a year later, we're going to finish up this. I've never done the Proverbs before. It's been an interesting study. I hope I'm a little bit wiser from what I have studied. I'm Polish, so I don't know how that's going to work. But anyhow, we're looking, first of all, at verses 1 through 9, counsel to Solomon from his mother. Now this word Lemuel, King Lemuel, is agreed by most scholars that this was another name for King Solomon. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son? This word what is used 3 times here, or it could be used by other translations. They put it, what are you doing, my son? Or it could be, listen, my son. What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open the mouth for the dumb in the cause of all, such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. It's interesting, the instruction that his mother gave to him. As we said already, this Lemuel is probably another name for Solomon. And his mother is teaching him things that would have been awesome had he fully followed the counsel that she gave him. First of all, we find point C, the threefold plea for Solomon to listen to what she had to say. Now, this is not just repetition. It's for emphasis. What I'm going to tell you is extremely important, and I want you to listen, and not only listen, but I want you to act on it. And so she had a concern for him. Point D, she was counseling him concerning his social life. His social life. In verse 3, she told him to stay away from an adulterous lifestyle. Stay away from it. Well, we know from Scripture and other teachings that that is not something Solomon chose to do. And that brought him down in the end and took away God's blessing. And not long after he passed away, the nation became divided. And it's tragic. She also told him to stay away from a lifestyle governed by strong drink. That was not for him in the leadership position he was in. If you're going to give strong drink, give it to somebody that's got a heavy heart, somebody that's ready to perish. Give it to someone who is trying to forget, but not for you as a king. So again, good counsel that she was giving to him. Then point E, as a king, he was to be a spokesman for the less fortunate. And if you can get government to be a spokesperson for the less fortunate, it probably will be a good thing. Now, in our country, our government is telling us, or telling the less fortunate, that they're being a spokesperson for them. But that is just as far from the truth as you can get. And it's tragic that the less fortunate are buying it hook, line, and sinker. And so it is something that is for leadership to consider, to speak out for those that are less fortunate. Verse 8 in the NIV says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute." Verse 9 also says, "Speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and the needy." So some good counsel here. It would have been awesome had King Solomon chosen to follow the counsel that he got from his mom. But in many cases, he did not. Now, point 2 is taken from a sermon that I preached on Mother's Day in 2015. I thought the notes were worthy to be shared again. We're looking at counsel concerning a godly wife. Again, Lemuel's mother sharing this counsel. This is coming from another woman. Verse 10, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good, not evil, all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maids. She considereth a field, and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she stretcheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. We see A under 2, her worth. Her worth. Verse 10 says she is more precious than rubies. And verse 25 says she is clothed with strength and dignity. She laughs with no fear of the future. Point 3, this priceless woman is a worker. Whether it be sewing, cooking, taking care of the children, assisting her husband in the family business, or running her own business, she's faithful in doing her share. And it seems that all of these things are listed in this proverb about this woman, the things that she's involved in doing. So she is a worker. A, she works willingly. It's not a matter of compulsion, but compassion. She loves her family. She does it because she loves them, not because she feels like she has to do so. B, she loves her husband, and therefore she seeks to please him. So that's her worth. B, her works. Her works. Her works, first of all, with her family. She provides them with proper clothing. She plans meals and her day. She brings food from afar and gets up early to prepare breakfast. C, she's tireless in her work. She's a hard worker, looking for bargains and working late into the night. D, she cares for and watches over the entire household. And in that day, it included more than just the husband and kids. So there's her works. First of all, with her family. Secondly, with her finances. She buys and sells property. She's into real estate. She plants vineyards with her earnings. She's into gardening. She's into farming. She makes and sells clothing to the merchants. And two, with the less fortunate, she extends her arms to the poor and the needy. Now, this is a unique woman here, but it's an example that was given to look to. And it's a wonderful example. So we see her worth, her works. Point C, we see her wisdom. Her words of instruction are wise and kind. Point D, with a woman like this, she's going to have people that have things to say about her. So we look at her witnesses. Her witnesses, point D. First of all, her husband. Point one, her husband. It says in verse 11 that he trusts her. She will greatly enrich his life. B, her husband knows she helps him. He knows that she will not hinder him. And C, because of the kind of wife that he has and the character that he has, because of her, he is respected among the elders of the city. So the people of importance recognize the value of this man because of the quality of wife that he had back there behind him being his helpmate. Let me stop there just for a minute. We haven't stopped. But if you husbands have a good wife, you need to appreciate her. And you need to let her know that you appreciate her by verbally telling her and commenting on the qualities that make her the godly woman that she is. Letting her know that you hold her in high regard. And if you're not sure whether you value her or not, think of what life would be like if she weren't around. You know, sometimes we take our wives for granted. We expect them to cook our meals and wash our dirty laundry and clean the house. Well, this woman did all that, but she had quality about her. She had abilities that she exercised, and her husband let her exercise those abilities. Her husband let her expand her knowledge and her qualities in her life. He didn't stop her from being a businesswoman. He didn't stop her from being involved in real estate, because he knew that he had a quality wife here. And so I would encourage you as husbands. Secondly, not only her husband is a witness, but her children are a witness to this woman. They stand and bless her. Let me go back to the husbands again for a minute. You must train your children to bless their mother, because we live in an age where kids are taught that everything they get, they deserve. And if they don't get it, mom or dad's dropping the ball. And so we need to train our children to understand that what they get comes because of the hard work and labor of both mother and father. And what they have is a privilege to have, not something that they have a right to. You see, our government that speaks up for, and I'm being sarcastic here, speaks up for those that are destitute or the poor, the needy, teaches those people that they have rights and it is owed to them. So we're going to take it from the rich and give it to the poor, because everybody ought to be on the equal or level across the board. And it's wrong. So you as a father must train your children to bless their mother. And you must train them by example, first of all, in that they hear you say things to the mom that is complimentary and you're blessing her. And secondly, that you point out to them who cooked the meal, who washed their laundry, and let them understand that these are things that their mother does for them because she loves them. And then when those kids grow up into adulthood, you won't have to tell them to bless their mother. They'll just do it. And it'll be good words in your ears to hear when your adult kids come around and tell your wife and their mother what a great woman she is and how much they appreciate her and how much they value her for her good qualities. But we find here the children bless the mother. Now, as the husband blesses the wife, and as the children bless their mother, people are going to take note. And that brings me to the third point. Her fellow citizens will praise her and witness about who she is. She will be praised publicly. Not because she thinks she has to have it, and probably she'd rather not have it public, but just because of who she is and what she does, the husband, the kids are going to go around telling what a good wife and mother they have and what she does for them. And people are going to take note. Because, folks, we're living in a day that there's a dearth of good, godly mothers and good, godly dads. They're hard to find. More and more homes are raising children in an environment that a child doesn't know what it means to have a loving father or a loving mother. Brother Bob Crawford, who is not here this afternoon, is out interviewing a couple that could only meet on a Sunday afternoon about becoming foster parents, because he sees firsthand the children that are abused and mistreated in dysfunctional families, if we want to call them that. And it's tragic, and it's becoming more and more and more of an issue. And therefore, this woman who is a godly woman and loves her Lord and loves her family needs to be honored and respected. So we see her worth, her works, her wisdom, her witnesses, and last of all, her worship. Her worship. It says in verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Her worship is that she fears and reverences God. I find it interesting and ironic that this book that is attributed to Solomon ends with a chapter like this about a godly woman. And as best as we can see from the context, it's instruction given to him by his mother. Now we know the history of his mother. That there was a time in her life of sinfulness and silence, but God forgave her that and used her and taught her value and taught her quality of life, and she passed that down to her son. It's just tragic that he didn't really take it to heart. Let's take it to heart tonight. Let's take this whole book to heart. It's just, it's a massive book with so much in it. We just scratched the surface. I mean, there's so much wealth in this book that can be dug up to help us with our daily life and routine. May the Proverbs be a big part of your life. And one way to make it that way is to read the proverb for the day. Meaning by that, today is the 14th, so you would read the 14th proverb. And if you did that, you could read through the Proverbs 12 times a year. It'll impact your life. Help us, Lord, to honor your word, to follow its instruction, to be willing to let you change us that we might be compliant to the word of God. We thank you for the time we've had in the book of Proverbs. And I pray, Father, that something has been said to help us, that we might be more like Christ, that we might have the wisdom of God, and that we might walk in that wisdom. We thank you, Lord, for this final chapter and the instruction that is given there to the king about his reign and his social life, and the kind of woman that he should have looked for in a wife. Help us, Lord, to honor our wives. I thank you for my wife. I thank you for the many years that she stayed by my side through thick and thin, through good times and through hard times, through blessings in ministry, and times when nobody wanted to speak to us or be around us because of the stand we were taking. She's remained faithful because she loves you. And I thank you for her. And I pray, God, that you will use her and you will bless her. She is a wonderful testimony to our children and to our grandchildren. And they hold her in high regard. And they should. And I thank you for that. And I pray, God, for the women of this church that love you, want to serve you, want to be what you've called them to be, that you'll bless them. May this be a good week for them, Lord. May they see your good hand. May they see the respect that they're due from their family. And may they rejoice in what you do with them and through them through this week. Some of the moms here are carrying heavy burdens, Lord, for their family, for their children, maybe for their grandchildren or great-grandchildren. And I pray you'll comfort their hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you will use the women of this church to be a godly example to everyone that comes through the doors. And Lord, that they'll know when they come here that we have women that love the Lord and are striving to live for the Lord. So we thank you for this proverb, and we ask your blessing on the reading and study of your word. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.